Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply. What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. Rich Orris here, and thank you for joining me today on Ride at Home with Rich. Today is bathroom day with my awesome guest, Mosby designer Jen Lewis. After my favorite part, learning a little bit more about Jen, we can learn a little bit more about bathroom trends, how to put the bling in your bathroom with some luxury bathroom items, and the pros and cons of the ever so popular walk-in shower. Everybody wants one of them, so let's learn about the pros and the cons of that. Also today, my on-the-road segment, I will talk about visiting a client that wanted to convert a screened-in porch to a four-season room, and what happened during that meeting. Very interesting, some of the companies she saw before. And as always, right in the middle of the show, my right-at-home hack, programming your thermostat for every season. That's right. You know, most people do not take full advantage of their programmable thermostats. Learn some of the tricks today on what to do for that. Stick with us for all of that and more. I am so excited to introduce my guest today, Mosby designer Jen Lewis. How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me, Rich. It's great to be here again.
Oh, no. Thanks for coming on, taking some time out of your Saturday to really help out some of the listeners, and maybe we'll get some good bathroom information to them.
Yeah, of course.
So just getting started, where'd you grow up? Were you always from St. Louis? Or?
I am. I grew up in South City, born and raised.
Awesome. So I got to ask you the big high school question. Where'd you go to high school?
Well, I went to Cleveland High School when it was the NJROTC program. So I am a Naval Junior Academy graduate.
Wow. I salute you.
Salute me.
That is so awesome. So from that then, what got you interested in designing?
So I actually grew up, as I said, in South City, and the house that my parents purchased actually had it needed some renovations. So my dad actually did all of the renovations in our house. And so growing up in that atmosphere, really, it got me interested in learning all of that. And then also, not to mention, in the city, there's beautiful architecture. If you Google the building that I went to school in, right off of Grand, it was a beautiful castle. We called it our castle, and it had great detail.
Awesome. I love old places like that. Absolutely. A lot of my family's from Pennsylvania. So my grandmother's house up in Uniontown, Pennsylvania was pretty old, pretty neat, some real neat interior details and stuff. Really awesome. So let's get into some fun lightning round here.
Okay.
So talking about St. Louis, talking, you know, running around downtown and stuff, I'm going to start there with where would you rather go in St. Louis? So, you know, some of the popular items, Fritz's or Ted Drew's?
Definitely Ted Drew's. Grew up about a mile from there.
Awesome. Arch or the City Museum?
Ooh, you know what? The City Museum.
That is such a fun place.
Yeah,
so Cardinals or Blues?
Oh, I grew up playing softball. Baseball is my heart. If I had the opportunity, I would love to see a hockey game.
Yeah, so Botanical Garden or Zoo?
Botanical Gardens.
Awesome. So would you rather kind of either or stuff, sunrise or sunset?
I would love to see the sunrise. I see the sunset often, but...
Yeah. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
You like big dogs or little dogs?
Big dogs.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Thin crust or deep dish?
Don't dislike me, St. Louis, but I love deep dish pizza.
Hey, Pantera's been around here for a really long time, so we gotta love it. So what type of movies, action or drama?
Action.
Awesome. So what's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh, so many, but I would have to say my go-to is cookies and cream.
Favorite color?
Purple.
Wow, awesome. Favorite day of the week?
This is a tough one. Friday comes to mind. I think it's because it's the end of the work week, but Saturday I get to spend it with my son, and Sunday I get to spend it with my husband and my son. So it's really hard. The weekend?
Awesome. So what was your first job?
So my first job, aside from babysitting, of course, my first job was actually at an arcade.
Wow, that must have been fun.
It was a lot of fun. They had, there was an arcade, and then they also had bumper boats and mini golf and batting cages, which I loved, and of course, go-karts.
Awesome. Who do you admire the most?
Oh, this is a tough question. I would say I admire the most probably my mom. She's a very strong woman. She looks like she has everything together on the outside. And she's my go-to person for sure.
Most moms look like that on the outside for sure. So
I sure hope I do.
So thinking of the inside, what is your hidden talent?
Oh, hidden talent. You know, I recently took a love to gardening, and I feel that I can grow some really great veggies. And just recently, my dad and I got together, and we made a really mean marinara sauce, and we canned it.
Wow.
And I served some to my son with some toasted ravioli, and he devoured it. So that is saying something good if a 7-year-old devours food.
You got the green thumb. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of working here at Mosby, I did want to kind of let everybody know that, you know, we are hiring right now. We are looking for basically everything. I mean, if you are in the remodeling industry, project managers, architect, lead carpenter, bathroom installers, plumbers, electricians, designers, assistant designers, we basically need it all. And if you're looking for, you know, a really great, efficient, knowledge, quality craftsmanship type company to work for, you know, look us up online, callmosby.com, check us out. You will absolutely love the culture and everything going on here around Mosby. And speaking of things going on around Mosby, like I said, bathroom day. But coming up this coming week on September 22nd, we also have our upcoming bathroom webinar. So the 10 steps to a successful bathroom remodel. And that's something we can get into here today a little bit. We'll talk about some of these trends and some of the things that you should do. But if you want to know everything about bathrooms, join us again September 22nd at 11:30 a.m. Anything you're dreaming about your bathroom, we can take care of. We can get the information to you. You will absolutely love it. We can make it just such a stress-free experience for you. So join us for that for sure. You will absolutely love it. You can go to our website, callmosby.com, and find everything out about that. So, Jen, getting a little bit into, you know, thinking of the design and complexities of design, you know, kind of figuring everything out. And for quite a while, you were in our Right Bath, Right Kitchen division. We did a lot of bathrooms and kitchens and stuff together. And now you're getting more into the full service design build, getting into everything. So can you just touch real quick on, you know, some of the complexities of what happens during that?
Well, you know, I would say that when it comes to designing your bathroom, there's a lot of thought and work that goes into it on the front end. I like to think of them more in stages. You have your dream stage when you know that something has to change in that bathroom. You don't like it for whatever reason. Then your planning stage, which is really where you have to find your why and what, and then even your when. You know, why you want to do it, what you want to do, and when. And then, of course, there's designing the design stage, which is my favorite stage, which is incorporating wants and needs. I would say that's probably the trickiest stage too, especially when it comes to the size or shape of the bathroom, maybe the wants or the needs
Of
your bathroom.
So. Yep. So hey, we're going to jump into our first break here, but we'll get into more of that and my On the Road with Rich segment when we return.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each, limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, we are back live here with Jen Lewis, Mosby Designer, today. And I want to jump into my On the Road segment because I think it's going to bring up some design questions and topics and you know, some of the reasons we see up front for design. Because I was out last week and saw this client out in Illinois who was looking to convert a screen porch into a Four Seasons room, which seems to be pretty simple, you know, when you think about it. But really, when you start to get into what she's looking for, she's really looking for like a much nicer floor. She wants like a real floor. She would like some heating and cooling or something in there to really make it more comfortable. And of course, it's a deck, you know, floating close to the ground, but off the ground by a foot or two. So really with that floor system, I mean, you really got so much to think about with, you know, how you insulate it, how do you keep moisture from the ground so close away from the bottom of that and the insulation and heat runs or not, or do you just put some heaters in it? There's so many different things you could do. And then you also got to think about those walls, because, you know, those four season rooms, not all of those walls keep out 100%, you know, of the elements. And that's what I was kind of trying to explain to her. You go to a regular floor, and so she had seen two or three other companies, and it was very interesting, her story and how she ended up getting to Mosby, because she had one company out and they came in at a really high price right there on the spot, and just was really kind of trying to get her into this project, even started offering discounts. The guy literally calls his manager and they bring, she said this price came down thousands to sign today, and she was so uncomfortable. She's like, no. So she has someone else, and the second person comes out, not as high of a price, offers a smaller discount, again, pushing this, sign everything today, let's get this thing going. The third one comes in really low price. So all they're really interested in is the walls. They're looking at doing these walls, and they're telling her, no, we can do this, and you just find your own floor guy. Find your own HVAC. You wanted some lighting? You know, find an electrician. They can put your lighting in. It really, so I'm kind of there explaining, you know, the whole design process. And really, how do you get to that price, in, you know, right then? And you have to know everything, you know, right. That you're going to do. And we really don't. And we're really kind of unsure what that floor is going to be. I have a lot of complexities in, how does that floor end, you know, at the end when the wall goes in? You know, really, she's so close to just turning this thing into an actual room. Mm-hmm. I kind of was like, that's probably going to be like the third version of this design, is let's just make it a room and see where that goes. And sure, then it's totally comfortable. And we can still do big windows that go to the floor and really give it that outdoor feel and all of that. So, you know, a lot of things there to figure out. I need to get in the crawl space and look at, you know, how that ductwork's run. Do we think the furnace can handle it, or do we need a separate unit? There's so many things to figure out, which really brings us into, you know, that whole design end when you're up against something. You know, when we look at like master bathrooms per se, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, well, I don't know if I need the tub or not. How could the bathroom be different without it? You know, I don't know, maybe we want a double bowl, but do we have the space? Can we move a wall? So they really come to us not with general, you know, more general ideas, but not specific, you know, where I know in Wright Bath and stuff before, it was simpler, it was replace the stuff, it was, you know, not a whole lot of moving in that. So getting back into that bathroom design, you know, can you just explain your process? What do you do and go through when you're trying to figure out the best way someone could use their master bathroom?
Sure. You know, it always starts with the interview with the client, seeing what their wants and needs are. A lot of times when it comes to the design process, there's a conflict between their wants, needs, and what's allowed to be done in a home. So we always have to have that conversation. But, you know, if they're wanting to move walls, we have to make sure it's not load bearing. If it is, how do we support it? If they're wanting to move water lines, or even, you know, the stacks in for their toilet, or even drain lines, you know, there's just a lot of thought that goes into it. And a lot of times when I get to that, I'll actually come back to the office and I'll talk to the experts here. You know, the guys out on the field, they're the best resource for me. So, you know, talking to them, asking our plumber, our electricians, you know, just asking our guys, asking the team that I trust to make sure that what they want to do is something that's even feasible.
Yeah, and that deep bench is so valuable through the whole process, because it's pretty easy to say, yeah, if we just push the toilet over 16 inches, we'll have room for this and that. But, you know, does the structure even allow it? How does that happen? What else do we have to get into, you know, maybe on the floor below if there is, or whatever? There's so much we have to collaborate about in order to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Like with that screened-in porch, it's just not as simple as, you know, sticking up two walls in a door and saying, right, you're good, you know, because then you put in a vinyl floor and you get a little bit of snow, rain, or something coming in around there, and it's rotting out your floor, it's getting to your insulation, and what good happened? And if you do everything so sporadically and different from different people, to me, everyone's focused on one thing, the floor.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can put a floor in there, mm-hmm. You bet. You know, will it last? Will it work? How will, you know, that sort of thing. That's really getting that lasting value out of it is so important.
Right.
For us and what we deliver and to our clients and everything. But so it's kind of sticking in that bathroom, you know, kind of lately, what are some trends that you've been seeing with bathrooms lately?
Well, I've actually had a lot of clients asking for bidet seats. Especially with, you know, what happened last year. A lot of clients like to have that cleaning ability, you know, at their toilet. It's clean, simple lines, pops of color, or even a fun tile. That was always, you know, large format wallpaper or using a fun shape in the tile.
Yeah. And speaking of tile, that's really cool because there's so many things, you know, you could do with tile. What are some interesting things you've done with tile lately?
Well, tile is really fun to use as an accent. One of my favorite things is actually having a pattern on the tile on the floor. That's really interesting. As soon as you open the door into the bathroom, that's like the first thing that grabs your eye. Other things that are design ideas that we've done, is installing like a really colorful tile, maybe using that as the backsplash at the vanity or an accent inside the shower. Glass tiles are really fun for that because they have a lot of glass that has some iridescence to it, so it kind of changes as the light hits it.
It's kind of like one of those cars that, you know, you can't tell what color
right.
it is. Every angle you look at it, it's either black or purple or
that's
blue
right.
or yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting detail mm-hmm. there. So let's get into one of the most common questions I get as I'm out and about, and it's always people are torn, kind of an age-old myth maybe, in the master bathroom. Does the tub inside the master bathroom need to stay?
You know, that is a question I get asked often as well. And my response every time is it's always nice to have one bathroom inside your house. So if you have a bathroom in your hall bath, or excuse me, if you have a hall bathroom with a tub in it, then you can, by all means, take out that tub in your master bathroom. If you're not using it, if it's more for laundry than it is for bathing, then make it a big shower or put some window seats in there if it's, you know, set in the corner. But as long as you have one bathtub in the house, I don't think it's necessary. But I also think that if you only have that one bathroom and you need a walk-in shower, it's okay to get rid of that tub for your needs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, so many people just get stuck in this, you know, it just needs to be there. Like
right.
the tub shower combo is important and for resale and for all these different things. And really, when you make the shower bigger, better, when you, you know, maybe put some of that bling in it, those luxury
sure.
items or something really cool, that sort of thing. It's like most people come in to look at a house, you know, most people I talk to, they are not bath takers.
Yeah.
They're not even 1 out of 10.
It's true.
And when they see that awesome shower, they won't even remember whether that bathroom had a tub or not
they're
on to the next house. They'll like it so much,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah, to me, it really does not hurt. And lifestyles have changed so much with faster pace and so using something that's quicker than a bath to get that spa feel and all of that is so important, I think, in today's world.
Very true.
But another thing, you know, in today's world, something I'm always talking about and people are always asking too is, you know, what are some ways that you can design the bathroom to help make it easy to clean?
Yeah, easy to clean. There's a lot of products out there now that have smoother surfaces, so they don't have those grooves, you know, where the tile collects dirt. You could use luxury vinyl tile that doesn't, and they use a different type of grout that's not cement-based, so, you know, it looks like a real tile when it's all installed, but you're not going to get those stains like you do with your traditional cement-based grout. You know, there's also the material, it's an onyx the Onyx collection, that particular material, you could put that in your shower. It's just one smooth panel on each wall in the shower, and it just makes it real easy to wipe down and clean. There's also the quartz material. That is a man-made product with natural quartzite minerals in it, but it's doesn't have any pores in it, so it's not going to soak up any stains, so it's a lot easier to clean. All that dirt is right there on the surface.
Yeah, I love that, and really, you squeegee those walls down, and you're good. So for now, we're going to get into our middle break here. We'll have my hack when we return.
And now, here's Rich's right-at-home hack.
All right. Hey, you heard the man, my right-at-home hack. And let me tell you, you know, owners of programmable thermostats are misusing these devices. According to some research from the Energy Research and Social Science Journal, so apparently about 40% of us do not program our thermostats properly to the best of the way to use them. So some ideas for that, you know, when you're looking at thermostats, there's four different types. Really what you want to do for the best one out there, you want to get a 7-day programmable thermostat. So this will actually work best for individuals and families. You can program it for every day of the week. It is the most flexible option out there. So what you want to do is kind of determine your wake-up time, your sleep time, the time you leave, and the time you return from home. And then what you're going to want to do is when you set your thermostat up and you pick these times, you want to turn, like, shut down the heater air about 20 to 30 minutes before you leave the home each day. Then you can turn that air conditioner and that back on about 20 to 30 minutes before you come home each day. When before going to bed, you want to reduce that heater cooling about an hour before you go to sleep each night. Let it shut down and start getting low. You won't even notice it. Then start increasing the heater cooling about 30 minutes before you wake up each morning. Then you can spend some time, once you got it running, kind of working with it and tweaking it to make sure it feels right and it works for you and everything works out. And another thing you can get on these thermostats, if you get a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat, those are really awesome because you can control that thermostat while you're on the go, away from home. So say you left for vacation and you thought, oh, I forgot to change that, and you know, we're not going to be there for a week or whatever. Or if you're running late from work coming home, you can just wait to have that air turned back on and really save some extra money and everything. And the last thing I want everybody to remember is that thermostats made prior to 2001 can contain mercury in them. So if you're getting rid of a thermostat, really, you know, Google search your area, figure out where and what's the best way to get rid of a thermostat that contains mercury. Recycle, we don't want that stuff in our ecosystem whatsoever. So if you want to hear this hack or any of my hacks again, you can check them out every week on Facebook. Just search Rich Orris Mosby for Facebook or at Rich Orris for Twitter. So getting back, Jen, to these bathrooms and some of the things that you could do, you know, inside of these bathrooms, I want to really get into some of these luxury items because, you know, it is awesome here because we do get to do some really cool, really high-end stuff. That's a lot of the stuff you're going to see on our website and all that. Mm-hmm. But not everybody's going that far, doing that much, you know, really trying to keep it a little more economical and everything.
Sure.
But you can throw some of these items in to really get your money's worth out of different areas and everything. So looking at, you know, some of these different areas, what are you seeing in luxury items for, like, the toilet seats we were talking about?
Yeah, for the toilet seats, you know, there's your heated seats, your bidet seats, like I mentioned earlier. But there's also toilet seats that all you have to do is walk by and they open. So there's a sensor.
Awesome.
When you're in the showroom, it kind of scares you.
Yeah.
First time, if you're not expecting it.
It's inviting.
It is, yeah. They're like, sit on me.
That is so cool. So what are some other items in other areas that clients could kind of choose to, you know, kind of spice up their bathroom?
So you could, there's always the freestanding tub. I know you asked earlier about the bathtubs, but you could take out that alcove tub or that built-in tub and make it more of a freestanding and very luxurious look and feel. The heated floors, both in your shower floor and in the main part of the bathroom. You have towel warmers, which are always really nice on those cold winter mornings to have a nice warm towel when you get out of the shower. An exhaust fan that has both a light and a heater, or maybe just the fan and the heater. Those are always nice. And of course, you have like vanity pull-out storage, some things that are often forgotten about, but you could always use that to store like curling irons, hair dryers, electric shavers, all those types of items.
Awesome. So, you know, in one of one thing we talk about all the time is in the shower, kind of those shower benches. Some people are kind of like, well, they take up a lot of room, I don't use them as much, you know, that sort of thing. Are there different types of shower benches that people could use that won't take up as much space?
There are. So, you know, of course you have the ones that you could, you know, buy at the store that you can remove them as you can use them as needed. So they're not in there permanently. Those are more just for, you know, the occasion that you would need it. Maybe if you have hip or knee surgery, you have your fold up seat. There's a teak seat out there that, if you have a smaller shower, but you need a seat in there, but only one person uses it out of the household, then it just folds up out of the way when you're not using it. There's also the floating shower benches where those are nice because it still feels like a bigger shower, but you have that bench, you know, floating there. And then, of course, you have your built-in benches, which are nice for your larger showers especially. And it's more of a fixed bench, so it's, you know, it's there and it's seamless. You can cover it along with whatever material it is that you're using with your shower.
Yeah, I love the teak wood. I don't, maybe it's because I'm a carpenter,
but
I did see a bathroom not too long ago that we were looking at, and their shower floor was teak.
Oh, how fun.
It was so cool. And I was like, wow, you know, I never really thought about that inside. Now, so we have a house in Destin, Florida that we've rented for years.
Sure.
We've rented this same house quite a few years in a row, and it has like an outdoor shower with like a teak floor like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I was like, wow, talk about bringing the outdoors inside, you know, it just really gives you that feel. You know, that you're not standing on a tile floor. You're not. It was really cool thing. It was really neat. So the other thing in shower benches, because you mentioned like heating the floors, and we heat, you know, tile floors, warm floor to the touch, makes it real comfortable. Can you heat the shower bench?
So actually, you can. You do want to be careful with the material you use for the finishing material, of course, for the bench, but you can. So if you're using like a ceramic or porcelain tile or even like a natural stone or a quartz for the top of the bench seat, absolutely, I recommend it every time because there's nothing worse than sitting down in the shower on a very cold seat. So having having that warmth in the shower, that would be a great addition.
Yeah, absolutely. So with you designing, you know, working on stuff, what do you feel that everyone should pay most attention to when they're planning a bathroom remodel?
I would say the biggest thing that you need to consider is time frame. And we get so focused on how it's going to end up, you know, how the room's going to be function-wise and look-wise, and we forget about how long it's going to take to get the material in and then how long it will take to install everything. And especially now, you had mentioned earlier, you know, with Mosby hiring, with especially labor, the numbers have gone down a little, so it takes a little bit longer to find that good labor crew to do the installation for you. And then also materials have a longer lead time.
Yeah, that is something that is, you know, with COVID, with the Delta variant coming back on strong, and just the transition between the two, like it seemed like things were really starting to get better, but it was weird with materials, they really didn't. And I'm guessing maybe they just used up a lot of stock or something.
Sure.
you know, like during the first part of COVID, and then not having enough people to replenish that stock and not running, you know, full schedules and everything in the manufacturers, it's like it got worse for the material.
And now, here's Rich's right-at-home hack.
All right. Hey, you heard the man, my right-at-home hack. And let me tell you, you know, owners of programmable thermostats are misusing these devices. According to some research from the Energy Research and Social Science Journal, so apparently about 40% of us do not program our thermostats properly to the best of the way to use them. So some ideas for that, you know, when you're looking at thermostats, there's four different types. Really what you want to do for the best one out there, you want to get a 7-day programmable thermostat. So this will actually work best for individuals and families. You can program it for every day of the week. It is the most flexible option out there. So what you want to do is kind of determine your wake-up time, your sleep time, the time you leave, and the time you return from home. And then what you're going to want to do is when you set your thermostat up and you pick these times, you want to turn, like shut down the heater air about 20 to 30 minutes before you leave the home each day. Then you can turn that air conditioner and that back on about 20 to 30 minutes before you come home each day. Before going to bed, you want to reduce that heater cooling about an hour before you go to sleep each night. Let it shut down and start getting low. You won't even notice it. Then start increasing the heater cooling about 30 minutes before you wake up each morning. Then you can spend some time, once you got it running, kind of working with it and tweaking it to make sure it feels right and it works for you and everything works out. And another thing you can get on these thermostats, if you get a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat, those are really awesome because you can control that thermostat while you're on the go, away from home. So say you left for vacation and you thought, oh, I forgot to change that, and you know, we're not going to be there for a week or whatever. Or if you're running late from work coming home, you can just wait to have that air turned back on and really save some extra money and everything. And the last thing I want everybody to remember is that thermostats made prior to 2001 can contain mercury in them. So if you're getting rid of a thermostat, really, you know, Google search your area, figure out where and what's the best way to get rid of a thermostat that contains mercury. Recycle. We don't want that stuff in our ecosystem whatsoever. So if you want to hear this hack or any of my hacks again, you can check them out every week on Facebook. Just search Rich Orris Mosby for Facebook or at Rich Orris for Twitter. So getting back, Jen, to these bathrooms and some of the things that you could do, you know, inside of these bathrooms, I want to really get into some of these luxury items because, you know, it is awesome here because we do get to do some really cool, really high-end stuff. That's a lot of the stuff you're going to see on our website and all that. Mm-hmm. But not everybody's going that far, doing that much, you know, really trying to keep it a little more economical and everything.
Sure.
But you can throw some of these items in to really get your money's worth out of different areas and everything. So looking at, you know, some of these different areas, what are you seeing in luxury items for like the toilet seats we were talking about?
Yeah, for the toilet seats, you know, there's your heated seats, your bidet seats, like I mentioned earlier. But there's also toilet seats that all you have to do is walk by and they open. So there's a sensor.
Awesome.
When you're in the showroom, it kind of scares you.
Yeah.
First time, if you're not expecting it.
It's inviting.
It is. Yeah. They're like, sit on me.
That is so cool. So what are some other items in other areas that clients could kind of choose to, you know, kind of spice up their bathroom?
So you could, there's always the freestanding tub. I know you asked earlier about the bathtubs, but you could take out that alcove tub or that built-in tub and make it more of a freestanding and very luxurious look and feel. The heated floors, both in your shower floor and in the main part of the bathroom. You have towel warmers, which are always really nice on those cold winter mornings to have a nice warm towel when you get out of the shower, an exhaust fan that has both a light and a heater, or maybe just the fan and the heater. Those are always nice. And of course, you have like vanity pull-out storage, some things that are often forgotten about, but you could always use that to store like curling irons, hair dryers, electric shavers, all those types of items.
Awesome. So, you know, in one of one thing we talk about all the time is in the shower, kind of those shower benches. Some people are kind of like, well, they take up a lot of room, I don't use them as much, you know, that sort of thing. Are there different types of shower benches that, that people could use that won't take up as much space?
There are. So, you know, of course you have the ones that you could, you know, buy at the store that you can remove them as, you can use them as needed. So they're not in there permanently. Those are more just for, you know, the occasion that you would need it. Maybe if you have hip or knee surgery, you have your fold up seat. There's a teak seat out there that, if you have a smaller shower, but you need a seat in there, but only one person uses it out of the household, then you can, it just folds up out of the way when you're not using it. There's also the floating shower benches where those are nice because it still feels like a bigger shower, but you have that bench, you know, floating there. And then, of course, you have your built-in benches, which are nice for your larger showers especially. And it's more of a fixed bench, so it's, you know, it's there and it's seamless. You can cover it along with whatever material it is that you're using with your shower.
Yeah, I love the teak wood. I don't, maybe it's because I'm a carpenter.
But, yeah.
I did see a bathroom not too long ago that we were looking at, and their shower floor was teak.
Oh, how fun!
It was so cool, and I was like, wow, you know, I never really thought about that inside. Now, so we have a house in Destin, Florida that we've rented for years.
Sure.
We've rented this same house quite a few years in a row, and it has like an outdoor shower with like a teak floor like that.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I was like, wow, talk about bringing the outdoors inside.
Yeah.
You know, it just really gives you that feel, you know, that you're not standing on a tile floor. You're not. It was really cool thing. It was really neat. So the other thing in shower benches, because you mentioned like heating the floors, and we heat, you know, tile floors, warm floor to the touch, makes it real comfortable. Can you heat the shower bench?
So actually you can. You do want to be careful with the material you use for the finishing material, of course, for the bench, but you can. So if you're using like a ceramic or porcelain tile, or even like a natural stone or a quartz for the top of the bench seat, absolutely, I recommend it every time. Because there's nothing worse than sitting down in the shower on a very cold seat. So having having that warmth in the shower, that would be a great addition.
Yeah, absolutely. So with you designing, you know, working on stuff, what do you feel that everyone should pay most attention to when they're planning a bathroom remodel?
I would say the biggest thing that you need to consider is time frame. And we get so focused on how it's going to end up, you know, how the room's going to be function-wise and look-wise, and we forget about how long it's going to take to get the material in and then how long it will take to install everything. And especially now, you had mentioned earlier, you know, with Mosby hiring, with especially labor, the numbers have gone down a little, so it takes a little bit longer to find that good labor crew to do the installation for you. And then also materials have a longer lead time.
Yeah, that is something that is, you know, with COVID, with the Delta variant coming back on strong, and just the transition between the two, like it seemed like things were really starting to get better, but it was weird with materials, they really didn't. And I'm guessing maybe they just used up a lot of stock or something.
Sure.
You know, like during the first part of COVID, and then not having enough people to replenish that stock and not running, you know, full schedules and everything in the manufacturers. It's like it got worse for the materials once COVID started getting better for a little while there. And now with it coming back a little bit, it's really not getting any better. What are some of the lead times you're seeing for like cabinets and stuff?
Well, cabinets, you know, we're 4 to 6 months out with cabinets, probably longer if you're looking for a nice high-end cabinet company.
Yeah, so it's really brought, you know, we were here at Mosby, we're such a, like, I always describe this as a fine oiled piece of machinery for getting through projects and scheduling and starting and staying on them until they're done. And, you know, it's really just lengthened our lead time from like assigning to a job start date.
Yes, it has.
Quite tremendously, which is not, you know, what we're used to, you know, around here. But the amount of work also has absolutely done the exact same thing, too, where even, you know, we're a couple months out, even just starting almost anything that you don't have to wait on materials. But those material waits get really, really long sometimes. It's pretty phenomenal how they can be. So it is amazing what's going on out there and how we're trying to get through all of this, you know, in today, which, you know, like we talked about earlier with that team, the value of the team to be able to plan through this stuff, you know, make schedules, line it out. We're doing the same thing we've always done. Mm-hmm. We just have some extended lead times.
That's right.
Before we can get to them.
But we still, you know, as a designer, I do the buyouts for all the materials, and I try to get those, I get all the material bought out as soon as possible because I don't want there to be any more delays on just waiting for material.
Yeah, yeah. And I had somebody ask me the other day about, you know, pricing. What if it goes down? And I'm like, well, but we've already bought it. So if it goes up, it doesn't go up. If it goes down, it doesn't go down. But so let's get into our final break here. And when we come back, I'd love to discuss a little bit more about those walk-in showers with you.
Sure.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, we are back having a blast here with Mosby designer Jen Lewis. Thanks for joining me again, Jen. I'm really just, I love going through this stuff with you and talking about all these different things that we can do, you know, in our bathrooms and all the different designing options, you know, how we get through that. What I'd like to touch on for everybody is another very popular one because, you know, we kind of talked about getting rid of that tub and that master bath, which means making the shower different, bigger. Something I've always, you know, talked to everybody about is when you get rid of that tub, you really need to make the bathroom seem like the tub was never there, like it's not missing.
Exactly.
You know, and creating a better shower is definitely one of the best ways, I think, to do that. And everybody's always asking me about the walk-in shower. I want to walk right in. I don't want to have a door. This and that, you know, all the things that go into that. But there are some advantages to that, and there's some disadvantages to that. So can you just kind of explain what are some of the advantages of getting a walk-in shower?
So advantages, you know, well, one, I mean, of course, it looks amazing. So you have that wow when you walk into your bathroom. But some of the more thought of advantages is having that accessibility, you know, of no door. Those glass doors can get really heavy. So having that accessibility of just, you know, walking right in or even rolling right in, depending on why you need it. It's easy to clean because, again, you don't have, like, door tracks. You can, you know, use a squeegee on the walls or, you know, spray it down if you have a handheld shower in there. And then, of course, there's a spa-like experience. So it's very clean and very, very zen, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I get a lot of people in these discussions that are really like, well, you know, yeah, that'd be nice, but I really don't need the walk-in shower. I really don't need to, you know, I can step over a curb very easily, or I can do that. But, you know, trying to get people to think into the future, and if you're really in your home for the long term, if it's something you want to stick around and get a lot of lasting value, I think the accessibility point is really important to look at. And, you know, different things that we can do to get people thinking about that and prepared for that, Because, yeah, what if you slip on the ice? What if you just needed a surgery? What if you may only need that walk-in shower for 3-4 months while you recover for something? Or if you do age in place and stay a long time, then you may absolutely at some point need it. And the advantages of staying in your home for a longer time and being able to use it and you know, it can save you so much in, you know, those living expenses going into a facility or, you know, some type of care facility or whatever. You don't need to stay in your home for a long time to reap the benefits of performing something like that. And those are awesome advantages, but there are some disadvantages that I'm always trying to kind of warn people about. Don't want them to find out things, you know, on their own later on. What are some of the disadvantages of creating a walk-in shower?
Well, my thoughts go straight to water. And there you have all that water with your shower faucets in there. And if you don't have a door, you could have some water that's, you know, sprays, not necessarily sprays, but like kind of, you know, gets out of the shower and it could make the floor a little wet. It's cold. You don't have that door to keep that heat, the steam of your shower in. So that steam just goes into your entire bathroom rather than keeping your shower space warm. And of course, there's less privacy too, because, you know, your shower is open to the room. So if anyone were to come in there, you know, husband and wife, the wife's taking a shower, the husband comes in, you know, you just don't have that privacy that you normally would with whether it be a shower curtain or even a shower door with maybe a textured glass on it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And to keep that water in that shower, you know, I see them making them so big, they just take a lot of space.
They do.
And the expense, you know, of nicer tile in the shower, different things do. Well, there's just more of it, so your expenses can really grow with that bigger walk-in shower. Not to talk about also how that's created. You know, think about all of a sudden your floor needs to slope. There isn't a spot in your house where the floor was built to slope. So you either have to build the main bathroom floor up enough to create that slope towards a drain on top of your subfloor, which in turn, all of a sudden you'll have a step into the bathroom. You'll have like 2 inches into the bathroom, which, you know, who wants that? Or that doesn't help with accessibility, you know, at all in the future. So then you're actually working on the floor joists. You're working on that substructure to make that floor slope down towards a drain.
Right.
So again, more construction, more added expense, more things to go through to create that. So it can be a really great thing, but I think there's more involved than a lot of people understand. And when they start to learn what it takes and how much that can cost in the end, a lot of them start to go back towards that curb. Let's talk about one of my favorite things with the Onyx collection, the shower floor, that low profile curb. Can you kind of explain how that can be helpful and lessen that step?
Yeah, so the low profile through Onyx is about 1.5 to 2 inches in height, but we install it to the subfloor, so your tile would bump right up to it. So instead of having 1.5 to 2 inches to step in, you could have maybe 0.5 inch to 1 inch. And they also offer, if you need it, they offer a ramp as well. So if you needed to just roll right in on that low profile shower, which it's a lot of clients are actually going that way with the low profile because they don't want to raise up their floor, like you had mentioned before, of having that, you know, just walk in or roll in shower. So, you know, clients like the idea of doing the low profile and even adding a ramp, whether it be right away or, you know, a couple years down the road, you still have that opportunity.
Yeah. And so in that Onyx collection, can you get that shower floor in any of their colors?
You can, any of their colors. They also have a few colors that are available in matte. All of their colors are available in glossy, but they have a handful that are also available in a matte finish.
Yeah. And that's really good because, you know, I think that's one thing people like to kind of customize, and they want that tile floor because they don't want it to look just like that regular white shower base.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just like everyone else's shower base. So being able to get that in, you know, some kind of different color, maybe mm-hmm. working with or contrasting the floor to just create a great look. I think a lot of people really like that. So that is a good affordable option out there.
It is.
You know, for everybody to get into and out of that shower without a 4 or 5 inch step, something we do and offer all the time.
All the time.
Hey, I want to thank you again for coming on. We
thank
are
you.
Just about out of time, but it has been lovely.
It
and
has.
I really appreciate you being on with us today and everything. And for everybody else out there, join me next week as I meet with Mosby consultant designer Adam Daly.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich, brought to you by GAF Roofing. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, we are back having a blast here with Mosby designer Jen Lewis. Thanks for joining me again, Jen. I'm really just, I love going through this stuff with you and talking about all these different things that we can do, you know, in our bathrooms and all the different designing options, you know, how we get through that. What I'd like to touch on for everybody is another very popular one because, you know, we kind of talked about getting rid of that tub and mm-hmm. that master bath, which means making the shower different, bigger. Something I've always, you know, talked to everybody about is when you get rid of that tub, you really need to make the bathroom seem like the tub was never there, like it's not missing.
Exactly.
You know, and creating a better shower is definitely one of the best ways, I think, to do that. And everybody's always asking me about the walk-in shower. I want to walk right in. I don't want to have a door. This and that, you know, all the things that go into that. But there are some advantages to that, and there's some disadvantages to that. So can you just kind of explain what are some of the advantages of getting a walk-in shower?
So advantages, you know, well, one, I mean, of course, it looks amazing. So you have that wow when you walk into your bathroom. But some of the more thought of advantages is having that accessibility, you know, of no door. Those glass
yeah.
doors can get really heavy. So having that accessibility of just, you know, walking right in or even rolling right in, depending on why you need it. It's easy to clean because, again, you don't have, like, door tracks. You can, you know, use a squeegee on the walls or, you know, spray it down if you have a handheld shower in there. And then, of course, there's a spa-like experience. So it's very clean and very, very zen, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I get a lot of people in these discussions that are really like, well, you know, yeah, that'd be nice, but I really don't need the walk-in shower. I really don't need to, you know, I can step over a curb very easily, or
sure.
I can do that. But, you know, trying to get people to think into the future, and if you're really in your home for the long term, if it's something you want to stick around and get a lot of lasting value, I think the accessibility point is really important to look at and, you know, different things that we can do to get people thinking about that and prepared for that. Because, yeah, what if you slip on the ice? What if you just
right.
needed a surgery? What if you,
mm-hmm.
you may only need that walk-in shower for 3-4 months while you recover for something? Or if you do age in place and stay a long time, then you may absolutely at some point need it.
You would,
know,
yep.
And the advantages of staying in your home for a longer time and being able to use it and, you know, it can save you so much in, you know, those living expenses going into a facility or, you know, some type of care facility or whatever. You don't need to stay in your home for a long time
right.
to reap the benefits of performing something like that. But, and those are awesome advantages,
yeah.
but there are some disadvantages that I'm always trying to kind of warn people about. Don't want them to find out things, you know, on their own later
exactly.
on. What are some of the disadvantages of creating a walk-in shower?
Well, my thoughts go straight to water. And there you have all that water with your shower. faucets in there. And if you don't have a door, you could have some water that's, you know, sprays, not necessarily sprays, but like kind of, you know, gets out of the shower and it could make the floor a little wet. It's cold. You don't have that door to keep that heat, the steam of your shower in. So that steam just goes into your entire bathroom rather than keeping your shower space warm. And of course, there's less privacy too, because, you know, your shower is open to the room. So if anyone were to come in there, you know, husband and wife, the wife's taking a shower, the husband comes in, you know, you just don't have that privacy that you normally would with whether it be a shower curtain or even a shower door with maybe a textured glass on it or something.
Yeah, exactly. And to keep that water in that shower, you know, I see them making them so big, they just take a lot of space.
They do.
And the expense, you know, of nicer tile in the shower, different things do. Well, there's just more of it, so your expenses can really grow with that bigger walk-in shower. Not to talk about also how that's created. You know,
sure.
Think about all of a sudden your floor needs to slope.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a spot in your house where the floor was built to slope. So you either have to build the main bathroom floor up enough to create that slope towards a drain on top of your subfloor, which in turn, all of a sudden you'll have a step into the bathroom. You'll
right.
have like 2 inches into the bathroom, which, you know, who wants that? Or that doesn't help with accessibility, mm-hmm. you know, at all in the future. So then you're actually working on the floor joists. You're working on that substructure to make that floor slope down towards a drain.
Right.
So, again, more construction, more added expense, more things to go through to create that. So it can be a really great thing, but I think there's more involved than a lot of people understand. And when they start to learn what it takes and how much that can cost in the end, a lot of them start to go back towards that curb. So let's talk about one of my favorite things with the Onyx collection, the shower floor, that mm-hmm. low profile curb. Can you kind of explain how that can be helpful and lessen that step?
Yeah, so the low profile through Onyx is about 1.5 to 2 inches in height, but we install it to the subfloor, so your tile would bump right up to it. So instead of having 1.5 to 2 inches to step in, you could have maybe 0.5 inch to 1 inch. And they also offer, if you need it, they offer a ramp as well. So
oh, yeah.
if you needed to just roll right in on that low profile shower, which it's a lot of clients are actually going that way with the low profile mm-hmm. because they don't want to raise up their floor, like you had mentioned before, of having that, you know, just walk in or roll in shower. So, you know, clients like the idea of doing the low profile and even adding a ramp, whether it be right away or, you know, a couple years down the road, you still have that opportunity.
Yeah. And so in that Onyx collection, can you get that shower floor in any of their colors?
You can, any of their colors. They also have a few colors that are available in matte. All of their colors are available in glossy, but they have a handful that are also available in a matte finish.
Yeah, and that's really good because, you know, I think that's one thing people like to kind of customize, and they want that tile floor because they don't want it to look just like that regular white shower base.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just like everyone else's shower base. So being able to get that in, you know, some kind of different color, maybe mm-hmm. working with or contrasting the floor to just create a great look. I think a lot of people really like that. So that is a good, affordable option out there.
It is.
You know, for everybody to get in and out of that shower without a 4 or 5 inch step, something we do and offer all the time.
So, hey,
I want to thank you again for coming on. We're just about out of time, but it has been lovely,
and
I really appreciate you being on with us today and everything. And for everybody else out there, join me next week as I meet with Mosby consultant designer Adam Daly.
Get more at 971talk.com.